Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
When Jesus comes, Revelation 21, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All things are passed away. There's a new pristine beginning in all of creation. That when the kingdom that is not yet becomes reality forever, forever, and forever. And then you could say, well, how can I know that I'm in the kingdom? How do you know right now if you're a kingdom man or you're a kingdom woman? I just picked somebody out here and said, bang, let's check on your residency in the kingdom of God. Would there be ample proof to say, yes, that person is in the kingdom? See, Jesus says the kingdom is in here, the kingdom is out there. Jesus says, be careful, he says the kingdom is... He says the kingdom is... And he says, the kingdom is? In other words, the kingdom will come when Jesus comes and bring down the curtain of history, or when a Christian dies and goes home to be with the Lord.
The truth is, your citizenship in God's kingdom is based entirely on faith. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young wraps up his message, The Kingdom of God, and encourages you to be an ambassador for God's kingdom as you invite others in. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Kingdom of God, Part 2.
There's a Christian magazine called The Christian Century. It was written with the idea that the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century, that the kingdom of God would become America. And some of us still believe that. We think if America falls, there's no hope for the kingdom. Let me tell you something. There are five times more Christians in the third world than there are in the Western world today. Did you know that? The kingdom of God isn't the United States of America. And people thought that for a long time. The Christian Century, a magazine written, this the 20th century would be the Christian century. It was not. The idea that we are to build the kingdom for God, or the idea that God is going to build the kingdom for us, that's not a proper view or understanding of the kingdom. We know the Bible says, follow me, the kingdom is... good. Now, how do we know that? We look at the scripture and we see there that the kingdom is here based on the fact of signs. Signs of the kingdom. John the Baptist in prison sent word, asked Jesus, is he the Messiah? Is he the one who's going to establish this kingdom? And Jesus sent word to John and said, John, you tell John, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being resurrected, and the gospel is being preached to the poor. What did Jesus say? He said, here is these signs of the kingdom. Every time Jesus went around in a hospital, he emptied all the beds. He went to a funeral, and the funeral was destroyed because no one was dead. And he began to give the good news of what God has done for man in Jesus Christ. Is that a big enough sign for you, John, to understand the kingdom is
here?
Also, there are similes of the kingdom. Remember the word simile? I haven't thought of that word in a long time. It's those metaphors that you have. Look at Matthew chapter 13. In the Bible, there are over 40 different parables. Parables. And a parable is a story that Jesus would tell, and he would lay it alongside something so the people understand. It is a simile. He says the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he lists all the different things the kingdom of God is like. What is a parable? What does it mean it is like? It's a little snapshot. Boop. Boop. If I were going to take a picture of this worship gathering here, I may not could get it all in one picture. I would say, this is a part of the worship. Boop. Here's the other part of the worship. Boop. Here's the orchestra. Boop. And that's what Jesus did. He gave these little snapshots so we could understand the different nature of the kingdom, all the different aspects of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is
here.
That's exactly right. And look at some of the snapshots. 1 and 13, he talks about the soil, the parable of the soil. And he said the seed. The seed is the word of God. The seed is Jesus Christ that's being planted. By the way, you know that's my job. I'm a farmer. That's what I'm called to. I'm called to scatter seed. That's all I do. Did you notice that? I just throw seed out. I just scatter seed. What is that seed? It's supposed to be the truth of God. That's what we're all called to do in the gospel. We are to scatter seed. We're to scatter seed of the truth of God. You say, well, I'm doing it by my life. And some of us have used and have heard someone say, preach the gospel if you have to use words. Now, that sounds good, but it's not accurate. The background of that is, well, I'm preaching the gospel because I'm living a good moral life and you be like I am. Oh, no, the gospel has words. It has content. It calls for a commitment. It revolves around the creation and the fall and the redemption and the resolution of man. Oh, it moves on through. So the gospel has content. And so we are to be proclaimers of this gospel. And a part of it, that's what Jesus did in announcing what the kingdom was like. He said it was like soil. In a field in the day of Jesus, they would have a path that would divide one field from another field. And in this path, people would walk there and the dirt would be beaten and it would be hard as cement. So when the seed would be planted there, it wouldn't grow up. He explains that. He said, that's a lot of people. Do you meet people and you talk about God and Christ and a new life and the joy that he gives, how he'll clean up their act and give them a fresh new beginning? And they just say, no, I don't get that. You see, we can become so hard and so cold that the truth of God, touched even by the Holy Spirit, there's rejection. Jesus said some will respond like that soil to the truth, to the message of the kingdom. He said others, there would be a different kind of soil, and they would have a rock, and over that rock would be a little thin layer of soil, and seed would have that, and that thin layer would be very rich, and the seed would begin to grow, but had no depth. It couldn't get through the rock, and it would die. We see people all like that in the church. You know, they come down, and they accept Christ. They have a wonderful beginning. Well, their life is turned around. They have freedom, but about 3 months later, we say, what happened to Billy Bob? Have y'all seen him around lately? You know, what happened to him? Well, you know, he was so excited about the things of God, and he still comes, but he sits way in the side and has his head down. And you see what happened? He was like that thin soil, the seed of God's truth. Boy, it touched a spark in his life, but he doesn't stick around and grow and let the roots go down where he could flourish. Also, he said, the seed is like soil that's full of briars. It's full of weeds. It's full of other things. That's the reason Jesus said, it's so difficult for a rich person to go to heaven. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. But God can do it. Why is that? Because our lives are so cluttered, every one of us. We're going and we're texting and we're emailing and we're answering an appointment. And you ask somebody, how you doing? Well, I've never been this busy in my life. And what we're saying is, I've never been so important in any other point in my life. You know, we're going. That's the reason it's so hard to let Christ grow and deepen in our life. We're encumbered. We have so many worldly things going on. He said soil like that. That Christian never does grow. But he said then there is rich soil. That's when the seed is there, the truth of God in Christ, and someone begins to grow up. Then they talk about how little the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The smallest of seed. We know it's not the smallest of seeds. In fact, the cypress seed in that day was smaller than mustard seed, but it was a proverbial statement, a proverb. As small as a mustard seed, he said, that mustard seed is planted, and it grows and it grows and grows, a little thing, and becomes like a tree that birds can land in it. A small mustard seed. Have you ever noticed how small things begin and sometimes how big they end up? All the music that has ever been written all over the world begins with an octave, 8 notes. That's it. All the magnificent music of our choir and orchestra, 8 little notes in the octave. And look what puts together in all the wonderful harmony of the world. 8 little notes. Everything that's been written in literature, everything that's been written down in English comes from 26 little letters. That's all, just 26 letters. Little things. Mustard seeds grow and become. That's like the kingdom. And Jesus said someone was plowing a field and boop, they hit something. And what is that? And he gets down and digs it up. It's a treasure. And the man didn't expect that. It was unexpected. The kingdom was on him in the metaphor that is used here. And he went and sold everything he had to possess that treasure. Unexpected, it hit him. Or here's someone who Jesus says, the kingdom is like a pearl that someone found, the most beautiful pearl in the world of great price. And he sold everything he had to possess that pearl. That's the kingdom. We give up everything to possess the kingdom of God, and he gives it to us in Jesus Christ. See it? See it? And then you could say, well, how can I know that I'm in the kingdom? How do you know right now if you're a kingdom man or you're a kingdom woman? If I would just pull you out and say, well, let's just check. How can we tell? If the kingdom is here, well, it ought to be here in your life and in my life as a believer. How can you tell? For many, many years, there was no clear boundary between Laos and Vietnam. These two countries, side by side, before the colonialists came in and drew a border line there, there was no boundary. Therefore, the king of Vietnam, he would go, he didn't know who to tax. He didn't know who were citizens of Vietnam or they were citizens of Laos. And the same thing the king of Laos would say, you know, I don't know who to tax. So they came to an agreement. And they said, look, if you find a family and they eat long grain rice and their house is on stilts and they have the symbolism in their house of serpents like in India, those are citizens of Laos. He said, by the same token, if you found a family and they eat short grain rice and their house is on the ground and they have symbols on their wall, dragons like the Chinese, then they are Vietnamese. And so they agreed to distinguish by their environment and their culture who they belong to. What kingdom they gave allegiance to. If I just pick somebody out here and say, bang, let's check on your residency in the kingdom of God, would there be ample proof to say, yes, that person is in the kingdom? See, Jesus says the kingdom is in here, the kingdom is out there. Jesus says, be careful, he says the kingdom is He says the kingdom is
here.
And he says the kingdom is
not
here. In other words, the kingdom will come when Jesus comes and bring down the curtain of history, or when a Christian dies and goes home to be with the Lord. When Jesus comes, Revelation 21, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. All things are passed away. There's a new pristine beginning in all of creation, that when the kingdom that is not yet becomes reality forever, forever, and forever. Let me show you what we believe. Principles, look on your screen, that we believe. Listen, listen carefully. First, we believe that God is the creator of the world and the Lord of history. How many people believe that? Lift your hand. Be careful. Good. Second, we believe that God, through his providence, has acted within history and continues to do so. How many believe that? Be careful. Listen carefully. Third, we believe that Jesus Christ stands at the midpoint of history, giving meaning to all that preceded and meaning and direction to all that follows. How many believe that? Absolutely. Fourth, we believe that in Jesus Christ, a new age has dawned in human history. Fifth, we believe that history under the guidance of God is moving toward a goal in the future. How many believe that? Sixth, that goal is the consummation of history in the kingdom of God. How many believe that? You see, we've got it. We begin to understand the kingdom is now where God's will is being done. The kingdom is now when Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is Lord, there's obedience in your life and my life. And that obedience isn't tough. Man, a while back, I was trying to park my car, and I saw a place right up front. And I said, how lucky, how full. And I turned in there, and there was a sign. That sign says, reserve, no parking. This means you. You know, I got that. So I backed out. Was that tough? But my rights infringed upon my freedom as an American. No. See, that was just, that's the principle there. That's where that's person's property. They reserved it for whomever, whatever. That's great. That's fine. See, if Jesus is Lord of your life, living up to the principles of Christian living is what we are to do. And then we're able to worship. He is Lord. I'm seeking to follow his principles. When I don't, I confess and I repent and I receive forgiveness, and then I'm able to worship. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is
here.
And the kingdom of God is
here.
A lady loved the Lord. She memorizes scripture. All of her life, she memorized scripture over and over, verse after verse, line after line. Had a phenomenal giftedness in this area. And her favorite verse was 2 Timothy 1:12. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when she was ill in the last half of her life, her family and friends would go and says, what is your scripture? And she'd say, for I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What was she saying? She's saying, Jesus Christ is able to take her life, which he has committed unto him, that whatever happens, that she was in the kingdom, here or in the not yet kingdom, she had total confidence. And so as she got sicker, she began to forget some of those words. And she finally had on the words, committed unto him. They'd say, Mom, quote your passage. She'd say, committed unto him. Then as she got a little sicker, they would say, Mom, quote your passage. She would say, unto him. And finally, in the last days of her life, they'd say, Mom, quote your passage. And she would say, him, him, him. You see, the kingdom of God is here for her, and the kingdom of God is not yet for her, and it's all about him. Now, that's a profound moment. We see, we understand the graduation of this life where we're seeking to do God's will and let him be Lord of our lives. And when we go to the next life, when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God forever and ever, we understand earth and heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of heaven. We understand that. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God just slips up on us. Surprise! It appears in strange places, in strange settings.
That was Dr. Ed Young wrapping up the last message in his new End Time series, and it's great to have him in the studio today. Dr. Young, always good to see you. You talked today about some people who think a good moral life should speak for itself, that proclaiming the gospel can be done by merely living a Christ-like life. Share with us why you believe this is inaccurate.
Well, first of all, no one can genuinely live a Christ-like life unless Christ is in them and the Holy Spirit is working in their life. And we live lives. We say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, break me, mold me, shape me, fill me. And that gives us the ability to live that Christian life. It's not trying harder. It's not doing more. It is surrender, 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 which I've said many, many times. The question is, if a good moral life is going to make it, how moral do we have to be? On a scale of 1 to 10, well, if I'm a 4, is that enough? If 10 is perfection, what about 6? Or what about 8? The truth is that moral living will not get us to heaven. Moral living, we become legalists. We become under the law. What is the purpose of the law in the Scripture? It is the diagnostician. We read the Ten Commandments. We see the moral standards. We say, Lord, I failed. I struck out. I fumbled. I'm not measuring up. And we confess that. And it is by grace that we have to score a 10. And Jesus Christ is the only one who's ever lived and scored a 10. And therefore, we receive him. The Father looks on you and me, think about it, as if we're Christ, as if we're perfect. Because he doesn't see the old, he sees the new. See, we become family, sons and daughters of God in the sense that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's a magnificent truth that sort of overwhelms me. Christ looks at you and me in Christ. We are family, and therefore we can be confident of life now and life forever with him.
Dr. Young, how can we make God's kingdom come in our lives today?
You know, we pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The more we follow Christ, the more we seek his will, his purpose for our lives, the more his kingdom come. The kingdom is coming, but yet the kingdom is already here. Where is the kingdom of God? Well, it's in heaven. Well, it's in church. It's here. No, the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus Christ is king. There's the kingdom. When Jesus Christ is king and Lord of your life, there's the kingdom of God. And therefore, the kingdom is already here. The kingdom will come in fullness and completeness after we leave this earth. But we pray thy kingdom come primarily. It is in this life, when his will and his purpose for you and me are being lived out.
All right, thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's 5-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's 5-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the great judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the winning walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Be sure to join us next week as Dr. Young helps you open your eyes to the reality of heaven.